All right, I want to welcome all those people who have to come into the show to PBS. The wind, waiting for a wind to come around the corner. We have.
Hello?
If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Laura Paul, Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Laura. Welcome.
Hi, this is Barbara from Canada, California.
All right, welcome. Thanks.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Yes, Kirk McVeigh from Vermont.
Hi, thanks for being here. From
VC from Burbank, California.
All right.
Kathy from Rockland, California.
Hello, Kathy. Thank you for being here. Keep joining. Welcome, everybody. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Teddy from New York.
Welcome to the call, Teddy.
David from California.
Hi, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yes, and if.
Good evening and welcome to the.
This conference is being recorded.
Welcome, everybody. This is Wednesday, November 7th, and fast approaching December 21st. And my name is Lynn Free, and this is our Wednesday night call where people send questions and we ask your questions. And I always tell people, if I don't ask your question tonight, feel free to ask it again and again. And if I don't think it's appropriate, I'll send you an email back. But we don't have time to do all the questions that people are asking. So we do the best we can. And, of course, what we're doing is we are communicating with what says they are intelligences in other dimensions. They say they created this realm, and they say they can look down and see us. Particularly when we're on these calls, they pay attention, and that they can also, and many people have experienced this, this happens particularly on our Sunday call, they also can, for lack of better words to describe it, send energy into this realm to us, an energy that many people can feel, that seems to make them feel better, more uplifted, more loving. And occasionally, people have miracles or something happens that wouldn't happen by the normal laws of the universe. So while we're doing this call, there's really all of our calls, but when we're doing this call, you can pay attention to two things. You can pay attention to the information that comes in, and you can pay attention to the energy around you and see if you can learn a bit about that energy and how it works. And there's a lot of advantages to making that connection. And my partner, Associate Terry Brown, are you there? Hello, Terry. We don't hear you yet. Terry?
Unmuted.
Her phone line just dropped out, Lynn.
Terry, are you there?
Muted.
When her phone line dropped out a minute ago.
A minute ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll talk until Terry comes back. Well, you know what? If you guys have any questions that a human can answer, you can leave the lines open, and I'll try to answer some of your questions until Terry shows up.
Unmuted.
Are we? Are the lines open? Can you guys hear me? Yeah. Phil?
Anybody
can
hear
me. You can hear me. Good. Okay. Well, now we're getting funny noises in the background.
Muted.
Gary, you're not back yet.
So you want it muted, right?
Pardon me?
You want me to mute the line or keep it back open?
I'll mute it for my cell phone, okay? Then I can come.
Okay.
You don't have to do it. I can do that, but thank you. If there's no noise, I'll leave it open. And if we get noise, I'll mute it.
I'll try to mute the individual lines.
Thank you so much.
Right.
And, you know, those of you that are coming into the lines regularly, you know, there's always a bunch of you who are, and then there's always some people that are checking this out for the first time. This is not anything that is normal. In other words, this idea that there's this energy from a source in another dimension that can come into your space and is a fairly unusual phenomena. And it's one you have to check out. If I was checking out this line, I was discovered this, I'd be saying, is this real? Is wind delusional? That's why you have to read my story. And then after you decide that it's real, you have to ask yourself, is it positive? Is there anything here that's got an agenda or trying to control me? And those are the criteria, because you're not supposed to give up your power, and we're not supposed to define your truth. This is a kind of circumstance situation where we are experiencing this together. We're kind of on a train, an energy train, and I'm on the train with you. And when I show up, I've kind of learned how to steer the train. Only by serendipity, only by showing up and showing up. Not through any special knowledge, not through, I would never say, I'm a master. I'm just a guy that kept showing up, and if I do this, they do that, and if I do this, they do that. When we do this, people seem to have a good experience and kept refining and refining everything until the point where we give the appearance that we look like we know what we're doing. And I guess in a sense we do, because we keep doing it, we learn when we do this works. But the idea, somebody asked the question, how do I learn to meditate better?
Hey, Vin, Terry is back.
Terry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I got the call got dropped.
It got dropped?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And so I thought I would just take a shot at answering that question, since then we'll go back into the questions for this evening. But meditation, when you use the word meditation, there are many ways of meditation as there are, I won't say as there are humans, but there's meditation. The idea of meditation is to still your mind, go into the center of yourself, and feel yourself, who you really are. And there's this idea that you can do that. And, of course, there's techniques, there's breathing techniques. There's all kinds of things that people will teach you. If you do this, you will have a deeper meditation. Well, my t-
my take on this, my take is that every one of us is in our own reality box. Know what I mean by that? We have a reality system. And some people have more expanded reality systems, and some people have more contracted reality systems. And your reality system sets the limits of your ability to perceive the world around you, because you have to perceive it through your reality system. So when you start to meditate, usually the meditation will, your experience will stay within your reality system, no matter what you do, with minor variations. So you'll be meditating and you'll be thinking of your children or your wife or naked women, or I gotta eat and I gotta get my mind to stop. And yet it all dances around your reality system. And to have a really successful meditation, you have to expand beyond your reality system. Now, I believe that one of the things we're doing on these calls is setting a reference point for a rather large reality system. And particularly on our Sunday call, if you're not coming into our Sunday call and you're curious about our work, you owe it to yourself to check it out. Because on the Sunday call, we focus on the experience of that expanded reality. On our Monday and Wednesday calls, we're talking about information, and there is the expanded reality on the call, but it's not focused on. Our Sunday call is focused on it. Once you have the experience of expanding beyond your own reality system, you can then have a reference point. And when you go in to say, I want to meditate, and you shut your eyes, boom, immediately you have the reference point of that expanded space, and you could potentially go there. It would be even thinking about someone you love. If you really love somebody, if you really love them, when you think about them, you move into an expanded reality. And I would venture to speculate that if you really love someone, when you think of them, your energy field moves to where they are. And you can, if you imagine that you can feel them inside of you, how it feels to feel them, then you're probably there. And when I have this experience with somebody, I usually have little phenomena that goes along with it. Like, for example, I'll be sending them an email, and I just finished putting the send button, and I get an email from them, and they were sending me their email in the exact moment that I was sending them their email. So when you start to combine energies like that, people get psychic, and when you start thinking about someone, they start thinking about you. And now you're in an expanded meditative state. Now, you know, what I'm saying is, like, different from some of the standard Buddhist Zen ways of saying things. But what I think is, say, for example, in a Zen situation where people sit in a room and meditate, and they're having a group energy. And in their group energy, they are combining energies. And they go into an expanded space because of that. So on that note, I'm going to stop talking about this, and I'm going to talk to Terry, our sources through Terry, and ask them some questions. Are you ready, Terry? Hello, Terry. Hello. Hi. Hello, hi. Hello, Terry.
Her line is still open.
Terry, I don't hear you.
Hello?
I hear you now.
Oh, you can hear me now? Okay.
Yeah, what was the problem?
I don't know. Somebody was trying to call me.
Okay. So we're going to start.
Okay.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And I'd like to point out, some of you, as I said that, got very peaceful, got very centered. And I would suggest that you have just moved into an expanded space, and you can see the reference point for that. And when you go to meditate, try to bring that back in. Keep coming in these calls, eventually you'll do it. And do we have our sources present? Would they like to greet us?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. As we are present, we see an area above California, Oregon, Nevada, some parts of Utah, some parts of Arizona, that are like a different energy is over this area, which distorts the wavelength from their normal wavelength. And if you live in this area, you may notice that things seem a little bit off, that the energy is not exactly as it was a few weeks ago. There are, above the area, harp waves that are throwing things a little bit off. Also, Mercury and the stars are throwing a little bit of energy that is not straightforward into the mix. So if you can just move forward and allow for that distortion instead of the side and move forward, then you will find easier going and will not have so many conflicts with other people at this time, as these energies tend to irritate individuals and to make it harder for them to have loving communication. We see similar vibrations over the northeast states of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York, Washington, D.C. And these are like bubbles of energy that add a little bit of confusion into the mix of everything else. And also, as in the case of the Northeast, attract storms to that area. Also, placing stress on the areas in the western states, California, Oregon, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, and parts of Mexico, that place stress on the fault lines. It is not only the individuals, humans, that are affected by these energies. The earth is also affected by these energies. As if you are in Utah, you may have felt the 4.5 earthquake. Or if you were in Guatemala, you may have felt the 7-point-plus earthquake of today. There is potential of higher earthquake in the western states because of the added stress upon the plates. And we impart calming, cooling energy to this area. It is when you have heat in an area next to cold in an area that creates a potential for earthquakes. We are with you. We look over the areas. We are available to each and every person that wishes us to be in contact with them. And if they do not wish it, we do not interfere. But we are available as a friend, as a next door neighbor, as a cousin, as a brother, as a sister, to each and every one of you who wish it. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. This first question is from Anna in California. I believe she's in the Modesto, somewhere near Fresno area. And she has a son who had a seizure. I believe he's 7 years old. I may not be sure of the age, but I think he's young. He had a seizure. And after the seizure, his personality and things changed from him. And Anna is his mother. And she is wondering, did something take control of him? Did he get possessed when he had that seizure? And if he did, is there anything she can do?
Thank you. We do see that there was a change, and that there was another that took some control at that point. And we see that you know who your son is, and you will see him there, and to be very loving to him, and to encourage him to be who he really is. And we take a look further. We see the interaction and that it is partially with your son's consent. We look further. If your son would ask the intruding influence to vacate that, one would vacate. We suggest that you, since you know your son, give love to the aspect that is him, and to pray that the intruding aspect will find his way past the situation. And we send love to your son that he does not need this other influence to express harsh aspects that he feels unable to express. Perhaps this will give you some clues.
Thank you very much. Laura Hall said she was feeling what Carla and I were talking about on Monday, which seems to be a heart-opening type feeling. And she's even getting good at dropping into it herself multiple times a day. And yes, time can and does work differently. And things can get done more rapidly and effectively. And those of you that are listening, Laura is an example of someone who's been learning to pick up frequencies on this line, bring them into their own life, and make a shift in the way they perceive the world and function in it. And she says it's almost like someone else is helping you do things way beyond your own capacity. And it's wonderful, but it kind of leaves me disoriented and shook up a bit, perhaps because I'm not used to it. I told myself the other day I should definitely try to get used to it, but this is going to be the new norm. But the question is, how? Any information about how to function for longer periods with that open-hearted feeling so it begins to feel more normal? And that's the kind of question we like to have. Thank you.
Thank you. We'd be feel the heart opening here and our energy hearts open in response. You do not need to have this experience all at once. You can turn it on and turn it off so that you can gauge how much of it you can experience, and then you can move back into three-dimensional time, and you can thus experience the differences and then take the higher realm time a little bit at a time, a little bit here and a little bit there, until you get used to it without the disorientation. You can control how much of it you experience and how much of it you don't. So take yourself on a gradient so that you can fully experience the difference and have control over the change.
Thank you. We had a question from someone, and a lot of people have this question. There's this idea that we're going into 4D. Some people graduating this realm. And the question is, if you successfully end up in 4D, what is it going to feel like to be in 4D?
Thank you. You are already non-linearly in 4D in your astral body, and you can move back and forth from 3D to 4D simply by a change of focus. So although you are not focusing on 4D, if you change your focus, you can begin to feel what it is like. It is lighter. You have the ability to move in your astral body more easily. You can escape the bounds of the body, although you are still tethered with the body. And you can experience travel, space travel, to other locations tethered to your body, to experience the differences. And even in your body now, when you refocus, you can then know what it is like to operate in the fourth dimension. We would say the structure of your matrix, your 4D matrix, is much lighter, much finer, and has much more light associated with it than when you are in your body in the third dimension and focused in the third dimension. So you can learn to find out more about it by shifting your focus into the fourth dimension, the astral body. You can learn to leave your body, your physical body, and move with your astral body. It is an exploration that can be quite exciting, and you can then learn for yourself what it is like. Your astral body has a tendency to glow, to, as you connect with the higher dimensions, the higher density, to shine like light shining on jewels. And it is an uplifting experience.
Thank you. Next question is, this is from Steve in Mitchell, South Dakota. And he talks about something that shamans do and healers called soul retrieval. And the idea is that people have lost fragments of their soul caused by traumatic or painful life experiences. And perhaps that also equates with the idea of fragmented souls that people in nuclear explosions. He believes he has lost some fragments of his soul. Are these soul retrievals beneficial? And of course, I'm going to just comment. And all those kinds of things really depend on who you're working with, for sure. Different people bring in different energies, and we can call it the same thing, but it may not be. But I believe the idea that he's talking about, people who have separated from part of their energy because of trauma or pain, I believe that's true. And what is the best way for a person? You could answer the question about soul retrievals, but maybe you can also answer it in a more broad-based way as to how someone who has lost fragments of their soul through pain can heal that. Thank you.
Thank you. One of the most beneficial things a person can do is to release these things that are not them. In traveling through their lifetime, it is usually, in fact, that individuals have picked up other soul travelers that in atomic explosions or any explosions, if the individual is in an explosion that has another person in the same explosion, what happens is it resets both individuals to the same time, the same location, the same place. It resets them. At the same time that their body matrix is lost. And the individuals then become confused and do not know how to hang on to what might be left, and they may hang on to each other. Then as they go through life experiences believing that they are the same being, as they have been reset to the same location and time at that one incident, then at some later time they may have trauma, and this trauma may begin as the individuals realize they are separate, really. They have had separate tracks before they got together. Then they may begin to let go of each other, and you may have someone that has multiple personalities or someone that has fragmented parts, or they may have what the psychiatrist might term schizophrenia. And there is a big movement to get the pieces back if some of these entities leave. We suggest that if the entity, which may have been with the individual person for quite a while, does leave, that the individual can let that part go and wish that part well and not try to pull it back. As the individual may be realizing finally who it really is and may be allowed then to resume its own path in life. So we would suggest if there are, we don't like to call them fragments, as we consider them entities or beings, that these beings be allowed to expand and to find their way. So do not try to call them back, although when one leaves, one may experience an emptiness in that area, or something missing, or that can take with it things that a person hasn't liked about themselves. They can simply leave at that point as the entity takes them with them, or talents or gifts that the entity may have had that now the whole does not have access to. So there may be significant changes, and one may miss them. One might miss the interaction within their own matrix. We suggest observation to see exactly what is going on there and remembering what was there, when did it leave, and checking with one's own center to see if one can tell the differences between themselves and the piece or part that has left. And everyone is on a path towards growth. And so you are in a magnificent position for future growth within yourself by even noticing that what you call fragments have left.
Thank you. I have a question that I'm going to add to that. If someone has fragments or soul, what that person's calling, forget the name, soul retrieval issues, and they have intimate relationships with another person, is it possible that fragments transfer from one person to the other?
That is very possible, that fragments can transfer from one person to another. During sex, they can transfer, or even when there is a courtship going on, then one person can send these entities to the other person, and it is almost as if it was taking place subconsciously, and they can exchange entities.
How about drinking and drugs? Like if you go into a bar and you're getting drunk with someone, would that cause an exchange of fragments?
Yes, as an individual let go under the influence of drugs or alcohol, they may then leave their body more unprotected against entry of other entities, and they may be more open, their body may be left more open towards being taken over or in, we don't wish to say the word invaded, but to be less open for control of other entities that are looking for a situation they can move in on.
Thank you. We have a question from Deborah, and she's in Cedar Park, Texas. And the question is, do people's tastes change day to day, depending on the choices we make? Or are some things just meant to happen, and that's it? Now, she had a psychic reading. And, of course, any time you have a psychic reading, you always open yourself up to me making a comment here, to influences that may be lesser than. Because psychics don't always come from high, wise places. And another thing is, there's a thing where psychics read something in the moment. And if you're on a high path, the moment you're in can change very rapidly. And they were only reading the outcomes on the basis of how the energies were at that moment. But that being said, I'll continue with the question. She had a psychic reading done by a person she feels comfortable with, and she predicted my daughter, who's 16 years old, would not have a career in professional dance, which is what she really wants to plan and pursue, because of an injury that will happen. Can that type of circumstance change? In other words, the psychic was predicting that the daughter would have an injury that would prevent her from being a successful dancer. Thank you, Deb.
Thank you. That is a very good question, and the answer is that, yes, circumstances can change. If the psychic was seeing something which could be in the psychic's own field, and she may have not been connected totally up with the daughter, but if she was seeing something connected with the daughter's future, then the daughter can take a look and see that she goes to lengths to analyze what circumstances may be possible. Negative circumstances might be possible in her environment. Is the daughter being careful to have shoes that do not injure the feet? Is there something that can be observed in what the daughter is doing that could lead to injury? We look at different fields of dance. For instance, we give an example. We do not say that this applies solely to your daughter, but it gives an example to watch for. Ballet shoes are made by companies, they do not consider the protection of the child belly dancer's feet. When a child is wearing a ballet shoe, the weight should not be on the toes. If the weight is on the toes, or if whatever shoes the individual is wearing injure or hurt the feet during the dance, then they should look for a different pair of shoes. For whatever shoes the dancer is wearing, they should be comfortable on the feet. And with practice in the dance, should not place any pressure on the feet that are potentially dangerous or cause pain to the child. So one can take the psychic vision and analyze all of the aspects of the daughter's dance and see if there is anything about this that would potentially create an injury. On a broader scope, if there is some agreement that the child has made that there would be an incident or something happen, this can be changed. And this would be up to your daughter, if there is such a thing. It would be up to your daughter to change the agreement, to look at the situation and see if there is anything that the daughter has within her own intention or her own frame that would set her up for some type of injury, some agreement, or some, I think, something that needs to be worked through for a lesbian growth for the daughter. And something that, if she observes there is something there of that nature, then she can change it if she wishes. This is an aspect that concerns your daughter, and we look at the interaction between the psychic and you and your daughter. And we ask, did your daughter herself want this reading? What is your daughter's interest in such a reading? Would your daughter be interested in potentially taking a look and changing anything that might be there? Have you discussed it with your daughter? As the psychic is reading, in a sense, for the daughter, what did your daughter wish for the reading? And those are our comments. We hope that helps. We turn it back over to Wynn.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to take the last minute and ask our sources quickly, but if we had to have a minute of time, can she run?
You are fading.
Would it be helpful to have a moment of silence and group intention regarding the
California and the New Madrid area?
And the Northeast area, yes.
So let's just let's just do that. Just ask for balance and peace on our planet, all those areas that have earthquake potential. We do that.
We see that the long waves projected over these areas is like a taking of possession of the energies in those areas. And as we see that, we, to some degree, break up the long waves. It is over a wide area and being created continually. And we again look over these areas, and as we look over them, it breaks up to some degree. But it is like setting a machine over the control of the energy in those areas.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here and participating with us today. And again, I hope we'll see you on Sunday for our grid healing, our planetary and personal healing. Thanks to all our volunteers. Thank you, Hives, for introducing everybody. And we're all, I think, just a moment.
Unmuted.
You're all unmuted, and we'll see you.